and welcome. Thank you so much for downloading our podcast from Italy. My name is Jason.
Ciao, I'm Ashley.
And together we own, operate, live at, and are currently sitting in the kitchen of La Tavola Marche Farm Inn and Cooking School in beautiful Piobico, Italia. It is Friday the 13th, a wet, chilly morning.
It is
wet and chilly. We have a break in the cold today. We woke up to some rain, but it's been cold outside. It's been frozen.
Baby, it's cold out. Well, do you want to talk about the weather or what we've been up to? First of all, let's say buon anno nuovo. This is the first podcast of 2017. So thanks for tuning in.
All right.
Just wanted to mention that in a radio voice.
Well, let's turn back the clock. Christmas in Italy went lovely. We did all the Christmas things leading up to it and then took off and went to around the Bordeaux area into France. We got to do all the fun Christmas stuff. So the Capoletti and the what else did we do? The Christmassy stuff.
Tombola.
The tombola, that's right. The bingo.
A little bingo.
All those fun things that always come along with New Year's and Christmas in Italy. We did those here and then.
Before Christmas. And when we were in France, we did something that Jason's never done before. It was a blast. We made pretty hardcore gingerbread houses.
That's right.
Dee Dee and Chris.
Yes.
Thank you so much for the recipe.
They were here towards the end of the season in the autumn, and I don't know how we got talking about gingerbread houses, but I hadn't made a gingerbread house since I was a child.
Exactly.
And we did it from scratch with thank you, Martha Stewart.
Yep.
I make fun of her a lot, but
she's Martha for a reason.
She had the incredible idea of using caramel or hard candy to make the for the seams of the like actual construction of the pieces of gingerbread, because it's harder than the icing, and it
blends, baby.
It blends. It worked incredibly well.
You only burned yourself terribly a few times.
Well, that's working with sugar. That's going to happen.
But it was really fun. I think they came out incredibly good. It was a blast. Our friend, though, said it's a hell of a lot of work for something you don't eat.
So. Yeah, if you want to waste some money and a bunch of time, a lot of time and a little bit of money, make some gingerbread houses.
I could get into it, though. Seriously. I think it would be fun in the winter one year to make like a whole village and we just keep baking them off.
Well, one thing that I think we need, which I won't use very often, but is a set of really nice tips for pastry bags.
Nice tips.
Tips.
That's what I said.
Okay. Where we were staying, she had a kit, and I don't think she's used it probably once. But it was really nice, and they were all stainless steel and really, like, heavy, and it's something I should, if I see it, I should grab, and even if I only use it once in a while, because it's nice.
I know, there was, like, 25 of them or something, every type of
shape and
everything you'd like. I loved it. I just had so much fun.
It was really interesting to see the compare and contrast between a Christmas in Italy versus a Christmas in France. Now, again, our observations are based on one or two places in both of those countries, but
correct, and staying with expats
but one thing I did notice is, so in France you do a big New Year's Eve dinner.
Christmas
Eve, thank you. Whereas in Italy, it's Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the next day. We noticed that it was not a big deal in France not to sit at the table together, that it was more they would bring courses out, but it would be like they would bring the cheese board out with all the cheeses, and everyone would nibble on cheese for a half hour and keep on drinking champagne or wine or whatever. Plate in hand, walking about the room, sit down. There were, of course, tables, but everyone wasn't seated. It wasn't a proper...
No, it was just funny because then I saw pictures of Piobichese, and they want to all be sitting together in one long table. It doesn't matter if it's plastic silverware and plates, but they all want to be one big long table, tight packed in and sitting.
And
for
the meal
sure.
is the meal. Like it comes, you know, you're sitting there and you're having the meal. Where in France, it seemed it was a loose meal. Like there was a bunch of canapes and a bunch of stuff at the beginning, and then there was more like three or four little starter things that you can make a little plate of, and then there was a main dish. but it wasn't a sit-down meal, at least where we went.
Mm-hmm. It was delicious, though. Sometimes it's nice having French food.
Oh, man, the pâté de foie gras was serious.
Yes.
Foie gras is delicious. the cheeses are good. Okay,
yes.
The cheeses are very, very good, but different, right? So when we were on our way home, I still said I miss my pecorinos.
I know, and I have to say, the Parmigiano Reggiano that we sent stole the freaking show on the table for Christmas Eve dinner. Everyone was like, whoa.
It was cool to have that there. Oysters were everywhere. It was insane. And now I know we were in a region area that's known for their oysters, and that's where they come from. But the price and the quality and the selection and variety, like, just they were giving them away.
We even went to the coast one day and had oysters, and that was so delicious. Because it's always better when you don't have to shuck them.
It's always better when you don't have to shuck them. Absolutely. Other things that I noticed that was different, gifts. So Italy for gifts for around the holidays are usually nice wine, prosciuttos, cheeses, all that kind of stuff. In France, it was really – and it makes total sense now that you think about it, but big baskets of tropical fruits, like mangoes and papayas and kumquats and like all these crazy tropical fruits, and every grocery store and every market had – a huge section of crazy tropical fruits, and it's of course the French settled parts of the Caribbean and other tropical places in North Africa.
It was interesting to see.
It was definitely interesting.
Something else very different. Hello, it took so long for the sun to come up.
Oh my God! It really freaked us out because the sun would stay up. It would get darker a little bit later, but we didn't see sunshine till after 8, and we're morning people. I am up, so it was like waiting around for why is it still dark outside?
I know. The day we drove back to the airport, we left at like 6 a.m, way earlier than we needed to. And it did not get light for so late. It was just like, oh my gosh, we're still on the road. It's coming on 8 o'clock. Where the hell is the sun? I was going to say, shoot, now I'm forgetting.
I don't remember either.
Oh, okay.
I prefer Prosecco over champagne.
True.
Very much so. Even good champagne. I mean, good champagne is good, but.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. Yes. Sorry. The French versus Italian. The French are a lot more vocal on, you've been living here a year, you should know our language.
Where
the Italians, I've never had them say anything like that. Like, they seem just thrilled you're trying. The French, it seemed like, oh, this is your fourth trip back? Oh, I do not know.
Yes, we went back to Limoges again, and we went out to dinner with a family we've become friends with, and they were joking, like, it was joked upon, but it was kind of serious in the same sense. Like, okay, you've been here 4 times. You need to – and it is true. We need to start learning to speak French. And it's true. But, yeah, the Italians don't say that at all.
Mm-mm. I just thought that was a little interesting, too. And always – oh, my God. We say it every freaking time. You can't leave Italy and find a good cup of coffee.
No, but you can't come back to Italy and find a decent pastry or piece of bread.
No. We did plow through 4 pastries within 6 minutes.
I had to get the rental car vacuumed out because we made such a mess with the
confetti, cornflake confetti, croissant confetti. Oh my God, it was so good.
But back home, it's nice to be back. We came back at the toughest time of the year. While we were gone, the old Godster,
oh,
you
my
remember
God.
Gaji, our adopted papa from around
curmudgeon
here. The hunting season went out with a fizzle, so he was over here. I started to prune everything, the shrubs and the trees before we left, and you know, I didn't do it all, but I got a great jump start. And he went back behind and fixed some things he thought needed to be adjusted, but they were just fine. Whatever. If you want to go back and prune more stuff, prune more.
It was hysterical. Oh, but he also left his piles.
That's what I was going to say. He doesn't clean up. He just leaves his piles sitting there. So I asked him. He goes, yeah, I don't do the piles.
I don't do the piles.
I don't take away. That's work.
And he burned all of the hillsides. which we do in the winter, but it just cracked me up because he came by numerous times and he was like, yeah, every time I'd pass out, start another fire. And I just thought, oh my God, he's just so funny.
We guess not got the memo this week because driving around for the last three or four days since we've been home, it is time to burn.
Everyone's been burning.
I don't know if it was cold and clear and light winds the other day. I don't know if it's perfect burning. It's time to burn, but wherever we drove, there was fires a burning. Speaking of fires a burning, we have been burning ours.
Whew.
And the moving of wood to stay warm continues. So it's time for sausages and salamis.
We need more wood.
Yeah, we need more wood. I think we got gypped this year.
Shit.
I don't want to say.
You don't have to name names.
We're not naming names, but I order the same amount of wood every year, and it lasts usually roughly the same amount of time, give or take. If it's a colder winter, maybe I have to order some in the early spring. But for the most part, what I order should get us through the tough part of the winter. Well, this year, here it is in January. We were just gone for a chunk of time. I'm scared that we're running low on wood. So when you buy wood in Italy, it's not by volume, it's by weight. So they weigh the truck before, they fill up the truck, and they bring it back with the and you pay the difference. So, shoot, I don't know. I can't say anything. It's a tiny little town, but I'm having to order wood, and I'm trying to figure out how do I go about saying it's interesting that this is the first year in 10 that I had to order more than I normally do, huh?
Yes.
Now, the wood was wet this year. It was wet, which is what sucks too. I'm not happy about that.
Yeah, that's a double. That's not a great excuse.
No, well, it weighs more if it's
true.
Wet, but we'll see. I gotta figure out how to do this and not be an American about it and just come out and say, "Well,
dude,
was that you sure this was the correct weight? Because it's looking, you know, you can't do that. So I have to be very. I have to try to finesse, go around about the way of saying it. We'll see. I'll give you guys an update. But salamis, the only good part of these next 2 months, the toughest months in Italy, are the January and February, just because weather and nothing fun's going on. You have Carnival coming up, but that's not for a minute or so, is sausages and salami making. So we started as soon as we landed. On the drive home, we called Gaggi and asked, hey, what's going on? How's everything? How's the weather? Blah, blah, blah. His first words were, when are we going to start making salamis? Because it's time sensitive because we dry it naturally and we need the cooler weather, the cold weather. So we made our first 50 kilos of salami.
Without any sort of curing salts or things like that?
No, nope, the old-fashioned way, just salt, pepper, and some white wine, the budelli, the casings, and some thyme, and the right temperature and humidity. And we will make another 50 of sausages for dried sausages coming up this weekend because we're going to get some snow and it doesn't look like much is going to go on. So it's a good time to make it. And then so that's 100. And then I'll probably make a little bit more salamis. I would probably make another 20 or 25 because salamis seem to go a little quicker and it's a good gift.
Mm-hmm. I know. We have to be careful. This is a good time because it's so cold. When we came home from being out of town and we called Gaggi, and our neighbor, Carolyn and Luke, everyone told us, do not go home. It's too cold. So here's the deal. We live about 2.5 hours from Bologna. And coming home in the winter and landing at like 4:35 sounds like, oh, that's not so bad. Sure, it'll be dark when you get home. But, oh, all right. It's not late. No, but it's cold. Cold as shit. So we haven't been home in like 20 days or something, and the house was frozen. The road was frozen. This was the first time when we ever called coming home that Gaggi said, do not go home. He said, find a room. So we stayed in Fano for the night, gorged ourselves on a huge fish dinner at La Quinta, and then promptly woke up at about 4:35 in the morning. Jason
was ready to go home.
I'm ready to go home, see our cats.
I wanted to see the cats, so Ashley told me to relax, and maybe by 6:30 we were walking out the door with our bags.
But, exactly.
Pipe's frozen, totally solid.
Exactly. Also, the road. So there was some snow, but it was that it melted on the road, or that the road didn't get sun, and that it just became ice.
And we say with the road, we mean from when you turn off the main paved road to Via Candeliano, our dirt road.
Yeah. And exactly what Jason was saying, the pipes were frozen, so it took some good work. We used a blowtorch on the pipes to try to plastic pipes to try to get it.
We have from the spring up in the which is about a couple hundred meters up behind the house. There's a cistern, a concrete cistern that where the water runs into and then can flow constantly. And from that is the pump that pumps it up. Well, out of the cistern, there's maybe 2 meters of pipe that come out of the cistern and then go down and then go underground. Well, when we first arrived, that was not insulated at all. So it would freeze every day. Even if it was, you'd be like, oh, it's not that cold out today. Oh, no, frozen pipes, because it's down lower towards the river. So we fixed that with just some really cheap insulation and some duct tape and that kind of stuff. Well, over the years, it's been a while now, that the sun and the weather has just disintegrated it. And what happened was the water coming over, water got in between the insulation and made ice now between the insulation and the pipe, freezing the pipe and solid, really good.
And so, now like insulating the ice.
Yeah, so now we're insulating ice. So it was, okay, that's what happened. So we went down there with some little propane torches and very carefully, because everything's plastic, just thick plastic. Started to defrost everything, and then Ashley, big brain on Ashley.
I said, I said this early on too. I said,
well, you said it when it was chunks, like it was just solidly
true. But I was like, why don't we just go get the hot water pot and boil some hot water? And because we had bottles of water, and I'll pour it into the pipe. And he was just like, oh, God. About 2 hours later, he's like, well, tell me more about this hot water idea.
So we boiled big pots of water in the kettle, and with the funnel, poured it after we got it like freed from the
ice block. We had to get that done first.
And started slowly pouring boiling water down there, and you could just hear it as it went down the tubes and
huge chunks of ice popping out through the tube.
Yeah.
So it's never a dull moment. Oh my gosh. Speaking of that, our poor neighbors caught their house on fire. Should we tell this story really quick?
Go ahead.
So gosh, it's dangerous sometimes. Just be aware. They had family in town, so they pulled out an old, and it was been so cold, and they pulled out an old electric blanket, put it on the bed, hanging out for dinner and stuff, went to go down, smelled smoke. Oh my gosh, sure enough, it had caught the bed on fire and was smoldering. So they put out the fire, put the bed outside.
Well, not fire, he said. It was
kind of just a smoldering.
It made like a burn mark, and it was smoldering.
Yeah, and they put the bed outside, but they put the bed up against the side of the house, and the freaking thing caught fire in the middle of the night from the wind, caught the door on fire, caught the side of the house on fire.
Tons of smoke damage.
Oh my God.
Which is hysterical, because where we live, we're just surrounded by fields, and that's what our neighbor said, that not the thing that makes him most upset was how stupid in retrospect it is that just throw it in the front of the yard, throw it anywhere.
He was like, I could have put it anywhere. Why did I put it against the side of the house? I could have just thrown it a few feet that way and it would have been fine.
So it is scary. You kind of have to think. And when you, and it gets dangerous at this time of year. Well, any time of year, but we're far away from services. The nearest fire brigade, fire department is in Collier, which is 40 minutes away.
Yeah.
Easy. There you go.
So it really is never dull, whether it's the frozen pipes or the burning bed. God, country living keeps you on your toes, that's for sure.
So January and February, I keep saying it because it's true. These are the 2 months you have to survive through in Italy. Italy is awesome in, I would say, 9-10 months a year. Would you agree?
Yes.
When the sun is shining, it's awesome. And awesome. Spring is beautiful in Italy. Autumn is my favorite time of year. It's gorgeous. Up until Christmas, once Befana comes, the Epiphany and 6th of January, it's tough.
Shutters stay closed. And
not a lot going
on. Not a lot
going
on.
Dead piazzas. Quiet, quiet, quiet. So we're going to try not to be get fat this this winter.
No. And the weather report. Ooh. They keep changing it. And I'm super excited because I hope it is right. But Sunday, today's Friday. Tomorrow's supposed to be sunny. And then Sunday, it's supposed to start snowing for like 6 days straight.
Oh, can't wait.
Oh my gosh. So I've been really concerned about the food and the shopping and making sure we have enough rations. And Jason...
It's hysterical because we just got done on, as we're driving home from the airport being like, listen, let's just not do it this year. Let's not be fat. Let's not... Because what happens is it gets cold. You don't really leave the house that much. And there's... I don't know. We just cook. Like, I cook.
Jason's a board cook. I'm a board eater. So it's a great combo.
So we're having this conversation not 24 hours before. And then we're sitting here the next day going, oh, man, the snow's coming. And Ashley looks at me and goes, so what are you cooking?
I was like, we need to make a menu, a 5-day menu, and lay in supplies.
It's two of us.
I just want to be prepared.
Oh, we'll be prepared. Other things coming up this week. And I wish we had things to...
Snow. Yeah, not much coming up this week.
We'll keep it short and sweet. How's that?
Yes, when we were in France, Jason was flying, and I was filming, so I've got a bunch of editing to do. Jason's working on a new project and learning how to do social media.
Oh, man. If 16-year-old girls can do it, so can I. I'm doing the Facebook and the Instagram. I'm an Instagrammer.
For flying in France.
Yep. So my flight instructor, he's a great guy, and like me, he's not really into promoting on social media. So Ashley, of course, never shuts up about it. So I need to learn how to do it because I need to take over certain things for us and let Ashley go do other things that can be much more useful of her time. And I just need to learn how to use a computer. So flying in France on Instagram at flying in France, and then at flying in France on Facebook.
Fly in France one.
One, yeah. So check it out. Really cool. And if you want to get, if you're looking to get your pilot's license, check it out. Flyinginfrance.com.
There you go.
In Limoges, France, with Roger Sprague.
I know. I just think it's funny because now he's getting into hashtags and stuff. So
tell me about these hashtags. All right. Very good. Wrap it up. Bring us home.
Oh my gosh. So I thank you guys for listening. Happy New Year. We hope you had a wonderful holiday. It's good to be home. And we'll try to do another podcast soon. Oh my gosh. I forgot to tell a story about losing my GoPro.
Next time.
All right. Remind me. Send us questions. We'll try to keep the podcasts going strong over the winter since now we're home. Yeah, you can follow us on La Tavola Marche, LataVolaMarche. You can check out our website for our farm, inn, and cooking school at LataVolaMarche.com. Shoot us an email, info@LataVolaMarche.com. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at, you know what it is, La Tavola Marche. You can also follow me on Instagram at Ashley Bartner. Thanks for listening.
All right, guys, until next time, we'll do it again soon. No guarantees of when, but stay warm, and thank you so much.
Ciao, ciao.